You know, this whole media training malarkey seems to be quite big business in Northern Ireland. There's the TUV's Julian Bunting, £500 for media training, plus another £250 media training cancellation fee. Marcino Mueller, £350 for a media training course at the Belfast Met. Now, Marcino Mueller has spent his career in media and is the managing director of the Belfast Media Group. And he spent £350 of your money on a media training course. Tony and Lagmore. Morning, Tony.
Good morning, Stephen.
You'd like to speak to Claire this morning?
I literally can't believe what I'm hearing here. You know, in other words, taxpayers are paying these people for to learn about media so we can keep they can keep their party in power. Right?
Well, these figures I'm giving you are over 4 years, by the way. These are figures of money they've spent over 4 years.
Not only out there, what happens if they don't get elected next time? That's the money we paid to them, which ends the waste. You know, it's not guaranteed that any councillor is going to be re-elected. And, you mean, why should we pay for some party that I don't agree with, get media training so they can come on and talk better than me on radio or television?
Well, media training would be quite common in many, many organisations. So they can basically handle people like me and communicate a message.
Yeah, and talk down to people like me. You know, I don't think that if their party wants them to go and do that, let the parties individually pay for that there, because it's benefiting their parties, not us people that's 9 to 5 or whatever it is they're doing or council or paying their council taxes. You know, it just doesn't seem right.
Well, you've heard Claire argue this morning about why her master's in law and governance at Queen's, she's tailoring it to what she's doing as a councillor.
Yeah, but what happens if she doesn't get elected the next time round?
Claire?
Well, I've just been re-elected and I started it half a year before on the proviso that presuming I would, and I have been, and I'm there until 2019 and hopefully further. I'm committed to public service, and like I say, I want to put what I'm learning into use for people. But it's the same, I think, if you compare to any job, people won't necessarily say in the same job they may hope to, like I do, but you still invest in them doing it to the best of their ability for the years that they're
there.
What
are these one-to-one coaching sessions, I'm wondering, Tony? At £1,800 a pop that John Kyle spent?
Yeah, that really puzzling. If they're at a meeting and somebody asks them a question, they'll know what to say without actually saying anything.
But what is one-to-one coaching? So you sit in front of a mentor, and the mentor charges you £1,800 a time.
Yeah, that's you mean. What that probably is if people get hit with hard questions, oh, this is how you would avoid this, or this is how you would avoid that question. You know, that's all that is.
Okay, Tony, thank you. Councillor Jim Rogers with us today. Good morning to you, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen.
Sorry to have kept you. You spent some money too, didn't you?
Yes, a fairly small amount. And my part of the Ulster Unionists, any training days that we had were and planning days actually happened in our room in the City Hall. We were conscious that this was ratepayers' money. But I've also got to say, all council, going away back in 2010, decided on this personal development programme. Now, I think some aspects of it needs to be reviewed, and that's understandable because no matter which policies we introduce into council, we would always have another look at them, are they working successfully or otherwise. Now, I think whenever you look at Sinn Féin, the number of planning days that they undertook, I think it's a little bit over the top and does give rise for concern. But I've also got to say to you, councillors don't receive any of this money. What actually happens, if you yourself organise a training course, the training company or the training individual, they will invoice the council and the council will examine it closely before any payment is made.
So you spent £461 on a Cities of the Isle visit to Cardiff.
That's correct. That is correct. And it used to be that was not part of the personal development programme. And that was a really useful visit because I was anxious to see how Cardiff Bay was developed, also planning, also social development. And I found it to be exceptionally helpful, as did every single councillor who undertook that visit. Now, I've been in training courses in the past where I've had to pay for them myself because, as I said, they only came into being in the last council, which lasted from 2011 till earlier this year. But our audit people, not just our internal audit, but the Northern Ireland Audit Office obviously goes through all of these invoices to make sure that there's no skullduggery going on. But again, Stephen, it's not a slush fund. It's a fund for the benefit of members. Some of the courses may cause a few raised eyebrows, and that's why I'm saying we do need to have another look at this to make sure that members are benefiting.
It's an interesting debate, isn't it? Because Claire has put together a very articulate, a very powerful argument this morning as to you know, look, let's educate people that are representing you in government. And Claire wants to better herself. She wants to be better at her job on behalf of people who vote for her. And therefore, she is doing a course in Masters in Law and Governance at Queen's University. And you could argue, as Robin Belfast, you're doing, why not? Why not invest in these people if they're sitting on the council representing? Morning,
Stephen,
Rob.
Stephen, morning, just before you bring Rob in, yes, you're quite right in regards to what Claire has said. And in regards to staff development, we as elected members encourage all our staff to participate in training courses. We want to have the best qualified and most efficient staff anywhere in Northern Ireland of the 11 councils. So we do what we can within a limited budget. But bear something in mind, the budget in Belfast City Council is in the region of about £190 million per year. And this is only a drop in the ocean, even though I'm repeatedly on record as saying that every single pound spent has got to be accounted for. And it's the same with this PDP programme, Personal Development Programme.
Rob, morning, Rob.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
Stephen, I think that Claire Hannah is absolutely right. Belfast City Council do a very, very worthwhile job for the people of the city. And they need to be equipped with the right skills in order to carry out the job to a certain standard. And people within all walks of life, within private companies right across Northern Ireland, send their employees on courses to better themselves, to encourage their personal development. And that happens throughout everyday life.
By the way, the BBC does it, Rob. Just for clarity here, the BBC does it. So the BBC has one-to-one coaches and mentors. The BBC has away days. So the BBC does all this type of stuff as well.
I find a wee bit of hypocrisy this morning because, you know, Belfast City Council are open and transparent. Their audits are available online for any member of the public to scrutinise. I don't see the BBC doing the same thing in relation to Stephen Nolan and the income coming in from yourself. And a so-called wardrobe allowance and all of this. So, you know, it's kind of the pot calling the kettle black here this morning. You're putting people under scrutiny, but yet we're unable to scrutinise your salary. We're unable to scrutinise your income as licence fee payers.
BBC statement to the Nolan Show from the Corporate Press Office says, as with many organisations, we provide training and development opportunities for staff to help improve their performance and build their skills in the workplace. Nathan in Newton Abbey. Morning, Nathan.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Nathan.
Stephen, though, point being, was this done in their own time after their duties were performed as councillors, as public representatives, or was it done in the public's time?
I have no idea. Claire, can you help us with that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, it's done in your own time. Certainly in my own case, it's done late in the evenings and Sunday afternoons and so on. We're not sort of paid on an hourly basis or anything that but certainly you're not doing it while you're in meetings or anything.
Stephen,
different courses. Some people, you know, prefer are doing one-to-one attended courses. Mine's kind of an independent study thing where you write essays and do research in your own time.
Stephen and Antrim. Morning, Stephen.
Hi, good morning, Stephen. Good morning, Claire.
Morning.
The overall concern that I have about this is that we may be developing, even down at councillor level, the political class being separate from the people that they represent. After all, there's not a requirement for someone to have a degree or a postgraduate degree to become a councillor. And I think that what I've heard this morning, both from Clare and from Jim Rogers, is a degree of self-justification about how the council, who actually decided on these things among themselves, they made a conscious decision that they were going to make these alliances in councillors' further education, media training. And I think it's a danger that in the future, people who were trying to encourage to be engaged in politics will be turned away thinking, my goodness, I don't have a degree, I don't have a master's degree, I'm not going to be electable. Yet Clare and others are sitting alongside councillors who clearly don't have the same degree of education, but have the same responsibilities and the same powers to represent the people. And I think when you think about it logically, this is just a issue here of justification. I heard it from Jim Rogers and his backtracking, oh, we need to take a look at this now that the media have done their job. But let's not pick just on councillors, because I'm aware that not too long ago, Atlantic Philanthropies gave about £1 million to provide the same sort of media training to our MLAs in Stormont. I think that...
Well, that was more than media training.
Well, but it's all about the same thing, Stephen.
Well, look, can we just say, media training is about, you know, I often complain about politicians not coming on this programme to communicate their message to the public. Now, if media training helps them to do that in a better way, that's value for a taxpayer, is it not?
Absolutely, Stephen, but we have 108 MLAs. I think that you and your listening public would acknowledge that there's a core of about a dozen of them that come onto your programme regularly. The rest of them seem to get away with not having the same responsibility to talk on behalf of their constituents and to talk coherently about the issues that are of concern to the public. I really worry that this distancing from the political class, from the people that they're elected to represent, is getting worse instead of better.
Stephen, I think it's important to point out that those of us who are in political parties, before we even stand for council, we have to go through a selection process with our own party, and they will decide either to allow us to stand or not. And that is quite a rigorous test and interview for people.
But, Jim, there's no consistency, is there? That's the other thing that the interview with both yourself and Clare has led me to see this morning. So, for example, you say that your party uses the hall, the room in the City Hall for your away days, where the SDLP charges thousands of pounds to the taxpayer for theirs.
Sorry, Stephen, just to clarify, we didn't charge thousands, but I think the delegate rate in Malone House is something like £55, which is, you know, coffees and lunch and room hire. Our room isn't big enough to have, you know, we worked in small groups as well. We had a facilitator who wasn't paid, who came in a volunteer.
But I asked you how you got to the other £1,400, and you said you had a couple of away days.
But that's what I was saying. We had a number of away days. This is over 4 years. I also told you I went to the British Irish Association Conference in Oxford in 2013. But the point is, Stephen, and just to address your last caller, and I do acknowledge his concerns, but as well as Jim said, we go through a selection process by our parties. We are elected by the electorate. You know, people do choose their councillors. So there's no, I don't think anybody is saying I'm not choosing that person because they don't have a master's. I know I certainly didn't whenever I was first elected. But it's fair to want to develop skills once you get in and see the work that you're doing and see the gaps that you have in your own knowledge. And like I say, we have councillors at all ages and stages. It used to be that everybody who was elected to council was a kind of a captain of industry who'd run a big company or run a big family business or something for decades. And we are councillors that reflect people. We're chosen by people. And then individually, we identify the gaps that we want to learn more about and that we want to know more about and that we think would benefit
Here's John. Hold on. I want to bring in John and Newton Abbey. Morning, John.
Morning.
Go ahead, John.
I'm just, like your last caller said, these people, they go on these courses and it makes them better at speaking and they can justify these things. And you know,
what do you do for a living, John?
I work for the council.
You're a bin man?
Yes.
And would you like your education paid for?
Well, yes, I would.
Have you approached the council?
Sorry.
You're clearly at work this morning. John's just dropped off. Jim and Derry. Morning, Jim.
Good morning there, Stephen.
Go ahead, Jim.
I just said it's very refreshing listening to your programme this morning, because it's one of the very few occasions we don't have politicians at one another's throat. We seem to have found some common ground after all these years. They're very happy to receive cash. And, you know, that seems to be the common ground with all the political parties. You know, they're not... Nobody's...
Well, it's not cash, it's investment in them.
Well, you could call it that, but some of it, I mean, to be honest, the master's degree paid for on the council is amazing. I would love that. To be honest, somebody pay my further education.
Well, maybe you should write to the council and say, listen, I believe it's part of the policy now. I'd like a degree
maybe,
too.
Maybe you should run for council.
Well, that's a good point, aye. That's a very good point. So you have to run for council to get a free degree?
Well, I think, in the same way as you know, we'll invest in employees. It's because they are employees and they're part of the council team.
But you're not an employee of the council.
What your work is. I said we're part of the personnel. We're part of the human resource of the council. And in the same way, a lot of it, in fact, I think if you find me an employer who doesn't do some investment in their team, I don't think that would be a business or an organisation that's going to do very well. I mean, people's skills need to change. People's, you know, education levels do need to change depending on the role that they're doing. I mean, are there? Can you tell me about big organisations that successfully say, you know, I don't want you to learn a single thing while you're in our employ? It's a very standard practice. And as I say, council is very proud of being an investor in people, and it's accredited and recognised.
You're doing very well, because I can't get a word on here. Look, there's very few big companies or small companies send their employees, no matter who they are, to have a master's degree. And it seems the council can do that. That's a very major.
A lot do actually. I know, and funny on Twitter, a lot of people are saying that their education, in part, and some of it is funded. And by the way, not everybody is doing a master's. I haven't seen obviously everybody.
Well, yeah,
some people are doing a degree, and some people are doing one-to-one courses. People have different learning styles.
One-to-one
as well.
Coaching.
Yeah, well,
Stephen, one of the reasons
Jim,
why these personal development courses were introduced was because of the new councils coming on board and increased powers, and members felt that they needed help and assistance because we were taking on powers that haven't been with councils from way back in 1973.
Yeah, but Jim, so yes, is it a reasonable question for me to ask why those members maybe, you know, aren't given a loan, an interest-free loan by the council, and they have to pay it back? So therefore, ultimately, it's not the people listening to this programme today who are paying for their education.
Well, I would say that's a good idea.
Would that not be a reasonable question, Jim?
Stephen, we have to have a look at this programme to see if there's ways of improving it. Some of the political parties try to pool the money. What they were looking for was basically to put all the money that their party would get through training and employ, like, special advisors, what we have up at Stormont Spa. My party was very much opposed to that for the simple reason this is a personal development programme. It's to help the person, it's to help the individual.
Well, Graham Craig from your party spent £1,500 of taxpayers' money on media training. What do you get for that? How does it cost?
There's a number of sessions.
So, for example, hold on. Adam Newton from the DUP spent £390 in media training. Graham Craig from the UUP spent £1,500 on media training. Again, there's no consistency. Is there a cap on media training? Or can you just spend what you like?
No, you're given £2,000 annually.
You're not given it. It's a nominal amount, I don't think...
You're allowed up to £2,000, and you don't, as I said earlier, get your hands in that money. The company that either the council arranged for you to have the training with, or you can arrange it yourself, and there'll be an agreed amount set there, and then after the training's completed, they will invoice the council with the amount.
Okay, so that I understand. That I understand. But for example, Jim Rogers, your party colleague, Graham Craig, is he really a frontline media person? I can't remember the last time I spoke to him, if ever.
Yes, I can tell you on the politics programme the other Friday evening, he was on, and he spoke very well. He was a special advisor to a member of the executive. Unfortunately, he has an eyesight problem, and Graham felt that this training would be of benefit to him, and already you can see the changes and how well he has progressed since that training took place.
By the way, with John Kyle this morning, it was my mistake that I didn't go into more detail about it. When I was saying two payments of £1,800 for one-to-one coaching, the first course had six sessions. The second year course was for four sessions. So that was a total of 10 sessions, which cost £1,800 each time. So £3,600. Right, Gary and Oma. Morning, Gary.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Gary.
I've had a stroke last year. I'm blind since the beginning of February. And my wife can't get carer's allowance to look after me because she's 65 and she gets the old age pension. And I'm listening to this morning of counsellors getting thousands of pounds. And you know what them thousands of pounds are for, if you don't mind me saying so, Stephen? To sidestep your questions.
What question would you like to ask, Gary?
I'd like to know why that I am being compromised and they're talking about welfare reform and what they're going to do with welfare reform and they can't pay me £65 a week. I want to know why.
Gary, thank you. John and Newry. Morning, John.
Morning, Stephen. 3 points I'd like to put up this morning, Stephen. Number one is Claire Hannah's training, media training and whatever.
Really, I didn't get media
worked,
training.
Really, really worked because she's able to talk everybody down, including Stephen Nolan.
She didn't get media training. The
second point I'd like to make is these councillors are only, they have to go for re-election. If they're not re-elected, who benefits from all the master's degrees and all this stuff? There should be something enshrined in that thing that they have to pay the money back if they're not re-elected. I think that's very fair. And the third thing is, isn't it wonderful that Northern Ireland has turned a corner and the DUP and the SDLP and Sinn Féin and all these parties can agree on something, getting money for themselves.
OK, thank you. Morning to you. Claire Hannah, thank you so much for coming on this morning. Thank you. I'll remind people that Claire chose to come on the programme this morning while all of these other political parties, Sinn Féin, ducked it, DUP, ducked it, PUP, ducked it, wouldn't come on. Claire did, as did Jim Rogers from the UUP.